Yeah, I know about graduating to a gorilla or whatever. You know? Anyway, we're delighted to have you guys with us tonight. Praise God. Well, are you ready for the Word of God tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. We're going to begin in Ephesians chapter 1. Thank God for His Word. We're excited about the Word. We're thrilled with the Word. Ephesians, the first chapter. Glory to God. Or you can see it on our overhead, Ephesians 1:3. As soon as I give him a scripture, you can see it. Ephesians 1:3. Hallelujah. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Well, you know what every means in the Greek, don't you?
Every.
Means every. All means all. Every means every. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. The Phillips translation says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for giving us through Christ every possible spiritual benefit as citizens of heaven. The Norley translation says, we have every blessing that heaven itself enjoys. Glory to God. So what are these spiritual blessings? Well, every spiritual blessing includes everything God did for us in Jesus' redemptive work on the cross. That's the easiest way for me to say it. Whatever Jesus redeemed us from on the cross, that's what belongs to us. That's what these spiritual blessings are. And the purpose of these blessings are twofold. Number one, they're to bless us. Number two, to enable us to carry out His plan and work on the earth. Reminds me of Abraham. You know, God told Abraham, He said, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. Some people think the only reason God blesses us is to make us a blessing. But no, God blesses us because He loves us and He's interested in our well-being, has our best interest at heart, and He wants us to enjoy His blessings and His goodness. Can you say amen?
Amen.
But then He does want us to enable us to carry out His plan on the earth. Now, in this series, we are looking at seven important blessings. Those aren't all of them. But we're looking at seven important blessings that belong to us. This is part two. We started Sunday morning, and we're doing this with an emphasis on how to receive them. Amen. And of course, just knowing about them is the first step to experiencing them. You'll never experience them in everyday reality unless you know about them and accept them. So the first step is to know about them and to believe them. So number one, we said, is forgiveness. Forgiveness belongs to us. Even as a Christian, you know, forgiveness belongs to us because of Jesus. Can you say amen? Number two is protection. Protection belongs to us. Another benefit, and this is what we want to begin to talk about tonight, another spiritual blessing is healing. Thank God for healing, divine healing. Healing belongs to us. And I want to share with you eight things you need to know about divine healing. Eight things you need to know about divine healing. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to run these lessons on Wednesday nights about divine healing. And then on Sunday, I'll skip that. And we'll go on to other points. But I'm going to deal with these on Wednesday nights. So this is almost going to be a series within a series. But because, sometimes we say a few little things about divine healing. Every once in a while, preach an exact message. But there's a lot to healing that people have never considered. And not understanding some things about divine healing hinders people from receiving that which God has already provided for them. So if we, I got to thinking about it, these eight things, I mean, these are the most important things that I can think of that you need to know about divine healing. And if you know and understand these eight things, I mean, if you really know and understand these eight things, I cannot think of one thing. If you really know these and you really believe this and you really understand these eight things, I can't think of anything that would hinder you from receiving your healing. You know, because sometimes people can know it's God's will for them to be healed, but still not be healed because they don't know how to appropriate it by faith. Or they know it's God's will to heal them, but they wrongly think that all healings are instantaneous. They are not. But if they think that healing has to be instantaneous and they're not instantaneously healed, then they think, well, I didn't get anything. See, that wrong thinking keeps them from receiving their healing. Or they cannot know that healing, you can be healed and then you can lose your healing. Or the devil through a counterattack, you can be well for 3 or 4 days. And sometimes people have chronic problems and they might feel good for 2 or 3 days anyway. And then all of a sudden they come back and they have a symptom and they don't know what to do when that symptom comes back, so they lose their healing. Or they think they didn't get anything. But no, they got their healing. The devil's just trying to steal what they got. And so there's a lot of things here that are real important that we don't get to talk about. So we're going to, and as we go through these eight things, like number one, knowing it's God's will to heal you because healing is in His redemptive plan, that's the most important thing to know. But that's something that we emphasize regularly. We teach on from time to time, and then we make mention of it, and you hear other people make mention of it from time to time. So we may not just dwell on that because it's something that you hear all the time. So we're going to emphasize what we believe the Spirit of God wants us to emphasize in this particular series. But now the second thing we're going to talk about tonight is something that you hear very, very, very little teaching on. Yet it's extremely important, and we'll talk about it, that you understand it. Amen. But so, eight things you need to know about divine healing. We'll go as far as we get tonight, and we'll pick it up next. We'll spend at least three or four on these, and we'll just do these on Wednesday night. So if somebody needs healing, if you know of somebody that needs healing, tell them to get on. You know, they can watch these free online. Tell them to listen to these and listen to all eight of these points. Glory to God. But number one is know it's God's will. See, we're talking about things you need to know. Know it's God's will to heal you, because healing is in His great plan of redemption. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross and provided salvation for every sinner, He also died on the cross to provide healing for every person that needs healing. Jesus bore our sicknesses and diseases just like He bore our sins. The purpose of His bearing our sins was so that we could be saved. The purpose of His bearing our sicknesses and diseases was so that we could be healed. And Isaiah, because we talk about it, we're not going to turn to these scriptures, but Isaiah 53:4, known as the great, what? Redemptive chapter, talking about Jesus. Isaiah is looking into the future, and he says, surely, I like that, surely, talking about Jesus, He has borne, well, you know, we talk about Him bearing our sins. Surely He hath borne our sicknesses and diseases. King James Bible says, surely He hath borne our sorrows. How does it say it? Surely, excuse me, I only quoted it a million times. Surely He hath borne our sorrows and pains, yet we esteem Him. Yes, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. But the word griefs and sorrows are in the Hebrew and are elsewhere translated sicknesses, diseases, and pains. Of course, we know that's exactly what He's talking about because Matthew 8:17 in the New Testament, quoting Isaiah 53:4, says that Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases. And you could talk about that. But surely He hath borne our sicknesses and carried our diseases and pain, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement necessary to obtain our peace, our well-being, was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. Glory to God. And then Matthew chapter 8. Let's actually look at that one. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. Matthew 8. The whole chapter, Matthew 8, verses 1 following, is talking about healing, but talking about Jesus healing people that were physically sick. You know, because some people will say, no, these scriptures are referring to being, you know, spiritually sick. No, we didn't get healed spiritually. We became a brand new creature. But talking about physical healing, says in verse number 16, when evening had come, they brought to Him many who were demon-possessed, and He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Well, where did Isaiah the prophet say this? In Isaiah 53:4. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Literally, surely He hath borne our sicknesses and carried our diseases and pains. That it might be fulfilled by the prophet Isaiah. Here's Matthew, inspired by the Holy Ghost, quoting Isaiah 53:4 in the New Testament. He Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Well, if He took them and bore them, no sense in us bearing them. He took them. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Amen. And then 1 Peter 2:24, talking about Jesus, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, the cross, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Isaiah is looking into the future. He prophesies. He sees Jesus on the cross, and he says, by His stripes you are healed. Peter's on the other side of the cross looking back, and he said, by His stripes you were, past tense, you were healed. Glory to God. And so Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us. See, we're talking about you need to know it's God's will to heal you because healing is in His plan of redemption. So Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has, past tense, redeemed. He's paid the price that we might go free. He's purchased our freedom from. He's delivered us from. He set us free from. He has redeemed us from what? The curse of the law being made a curse for us when He hung on a tree, on the cross. So here again, we're talking about redemption. We're talking about what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. And it says, what did He do? He redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law is the first five books of the Bible, known as the Pentateuch, summarized in Deuteronomy chapter 28. It includes spiritual death. In other words, you're a sinner because of the curse of the law. It talks about all kinds of things, but one of the curses of the law was sickness and disease. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it actually says every sickness and disease. It mentions a bunch of them, but it says, even the ones we didn't mention, every sickness and disease you've been redeemed from, you've been set free from, you've been delivered from, the price has been paid that you can go free from any sickness and any disease. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the psalmist said in Psalms 103, verse number 1 through verse number 3, Amen, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, glory to God, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Has He forgiven all our iniquities?
Yes.
There's not a pastor that's worth spit in the entire world that wouldn't preach Jesus hadn't forgiven us of all our sicknesses. I mean, all of our forgiveness, all our sins. But that very same verse says He has forgiven us. He has healed us of all our diseases. Amen. So Jesus on the cross redeemed us from sin. So every person can be saved. He also on the cross redeemed us from sickness and disease so every person can be healed. I like what F.F. Bosworth said. He said, sin and sickness have passed from me to Calvary and salvation and health have passed from Calvary to me. Say that. Say, sin and sickness have passed from me to Calvary and salvation and health have passed from Calvary to me. We just need to know that, believe it, and receive it. It's not even a promise. It's a statement of fact. Amen. It says, what the Bible declares already belongs to us. Amen. And that's what we need to do. We just need to say, according to the Word of God, I am healed right now. Jesus bore my sicknesses and more my diseases, and I'm not trying to get healed. I receive it. You can receive it by faith, or you can just say, I am the healed according to the Word of God. Amen. Amen. And of course, I usually like to talk about that for 4.5 hours, but number two, very important. Listen to this. See, we're talking about things you need to know. You need to know the difference. Listen to me now. Know the difference between God initiating healing supernaturally. Know the difference between God initiating someone's healing supernaturally and mankind initiating healing by using his faith. I want to say it again. A lot of people don't know this. You need to know the difference between God initiating healing supernaturally and man initiating healing by using his faith. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let's look at John chapter 5. John, the 5th chapter. John chapter 5, verse number 1. It says, and there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the troubling of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and troubled up the water, and whoever stepped in first after the troubling of the water was made well of whatsoever disease he had. Well, if God, for His own purposes and His own reasoning, wanted to send an angel down and trouble the waters, then heal the first person that got in, then He can do it, and He did do it. Can you say amen? I mean, this is an example of God initiating something supernaturally. He's God. He has the power to do it. He has the right to do it. He could do it, and He did it. Why did He do it? I don't know. When you get to heaven, you can ask Him. But he did it for his own purposes and his own reasons. Glory to God. And the first person that got in the pool of Bethesda was healed. Thank God for it. Gifts of healings falls into this category. It's a supernatural manifestation of the Spirit. It says the Spirit wills. I can't make that happen. I can't turn that on and off. If I could make it happen, I would turn it on every time. But no, that has to be, you have to be supernaturally led. You have to be supernaturally anointed to be able to do that. And you see, what happens is sometimes, you know, people that understood healing, Pentecostal people, sometimes this is the only way they thought God moved. And so they're just sitting around waiting for the troubling of the waters. But how many of you know that for every one person that got in, another 200 or 500 didn't get in? Now, let's keep on reading in this chapter. And verse number five, John 5:5, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool, but when the water is stirred up, while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked, and the day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, it is not lawful for you to carry your bed." And he answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" I tell you, the religious Pharisees, they're all concerned about who this man is that healed him on the Sabbath instead of rejoicing in this man that was sick for 38 years was healed. But the one who was healed did not know who it was. For Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. So this man didn't even know who healed him. He didn't even know what Jesus' name was. This man didn't come to Jesus. Jesus went to that man. Amen. So this is another example of God supernaturally initiating healing. The healing of this man. Jesus walked up to this man. He walked up to this one man. There's multitudes of people that are at the pool of Bethesda sick. But Jesus walked up to this one man. Amen. Led by the Spirit. See? He's led by the Spirit. He walked up to this particular man and ministered healing to him. And because that's the only one the Spirit led him to. Two on that particular day, on that particular occasion. This is another example of God supernaturally initiating healing. Amen. And so notice this man didn't even know who Jesus was. All right, listen to me. Glory to God. He didn't know who Jesus was. He didn't even know what his name was. They had to ask him. He says, wait a minute, I don't know. Later on, Jesus comes back to him and tells him who he is and he serves him. But at that particular time, he didn't even know. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? Somebody says, "Bless God, I've been going to this church for 25 years and I play the piano and I'm faithful and I know Jesus' name, and why don't he heal me?" Well, he already did. All you have to do is receive it. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind and turn to Mark chapter 5. That's John 5. Let's turn to Mark 5, verse number 25. Come strolling in here with all that makeup on and dressed like they're dressed, half backslidden, get up in the healing line and God heals them. I don't understand that. You probably don't. Mark chapter 5. I mean, Luke 5, that won't work. Verse 25. "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague or affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power, in this case healing power, had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'Master, everybody's bumping into you. You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me?' And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole story. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Now, many things you could point out that are extremely important, but relative to our subject tonight, this is an example of mankind, in this case, a woman, initiating her own healing with her faith. Remember, we're talking about the difference between God initiating something supernaturally. You need to know the difference between God initiating something supernatural. Thank God for that. We're glad for that. We're glad for gifts of the Spirit. We're glad for those type of ministries. But do you have to sit around and wait for God to supernaturally move? No, you can be like this woman. You can initiate your own healing with your own faith. Amen. Jesus didn't come to her. Jesus didn't even know this woman was in the crowd. Jesus, you know, didn't know who she was when she touched him. So you got to understand, you know, that in his earthly ministry, he operated as a man, anointed by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, anointed, empowered by the Spirit. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. God doesn't have to be anointed, but Jesus operated in the earth as a man who was led, controlled, and moved and anointed by the Spirit of God. So he doesn't know what you're thinking. He doesn't know everything that's around him unless it's revealed to him by the Spirit. So Jesus did not go to this woman. Say, he did not go to her. She came to him. Amen. She came to him. And he said, "Who touched me?" He said that because he didn't know who touched him. And he turned around and he recognized the healing power flew, you know, came out of him. He recognized that. Amen. And so he turned around and he's looking around and he doesn't know who touched him. He's looking because he senses there's something important here and a point he wants to make. And this woman comes and falls down at his feet and said, "It was me." And so Jesus said to the woman, your faith, you came to me, you used your faith, and your faith has made you whole. Now, is that true? Amen. By the way, the Greek word translated here, your faith, had the Greek word that's translated made you whole. In the Greek, that's talking about her physical healing. Can we agree on that? That's physical healing. Her faith made her whole. The Greek word there is sozo, S-O-Z-O. You know what that is, don't you? That's the word salvation. That's the word salvation. The same word translated as saved, as in if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Same word. As in, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we see the Greek word for being saved from our sins is also applied to physical healing here and in other places, proving yet again that Jesus purchased our healing in redemption. Glory to God. Amen. He purchased our healing for us in his atonement. You know, we say redemption, but you know, a lot of old timers, they always talk about what Jesus did on the cross as being the atonement. So what's the difference between atonement and redemption? Well, you can get really technical with that, but atonement is the act. Redemption is the result of the act. When he atoned for our sins and our sicknesses and diseases and so forth, that's him being beaten and crucified as our substitute. That's him shedding his blood on the cross. Redemption is the result of what he did for us on the cross. Amen. So, and you know that Jesus told several people, your faith has made you whole. People that came to him, he didn't go to them. There were times that he went up to people, but on several occasions, Jesus went to them. Glory to God. And a matter of fact, if you study this out, you know that Jesus healed untold numbers of people. And we don't know how many individual cases that he ministered to that we're not told the story behind it. But when it comes to individual cases, like the woman with the issue of blood or blind Bartimaeus, sometimes those stories are told, you know, in two or three or of the Gospels. But in those individual cases, there are 19 individual cases we're told about. You'd think there'd be more, wouldn't you? But some of those cases are told over and over. And of course, you know, we read where Jesus healed everybody in the crowd, and the crowd was several thousand people. But in those of those 19 individual cases, in 12 out of the 19, that's close to 70%, They came to Jesus, and Jesus, in essence, told them, your faith has made you whole, or be it unto you as you have believed. Because believe it or not, he's trying to get something across. That's the primary way that we're to be healed, by knowing the truth for ourselves and receiving it by faith. Can you say amen? Now, to make this real, here's what I always like to say about this. This woman who had suffered so much from so many physicians could have went to the pool of Bethesda. And what do you think her chances are of being the first person in the pool? I'd say if you were, you know, it'd be a pretty good guess to say she probably would never be the first person in the pool. And so, in other words, she would never be healed of her disease. In other words, she would eventually die because of this disease. But now here's the deal. All those people at the Pool of Bethesda, and most of those people never got healed. Most of those people were never the first one in the pool. Do you understand that? Now watch this. Every single one of them, every single person at the Pool of Bethesda, every sick person, every maimed person, every lame person, every diseased person, every paralyzed person could have gone to Jesus in faith, just like this little woman did, and every single one of them been healed. Every single one of them. But most of them never got their healing, waiting for some supernatural manifestation, but all could have been healed by faith. Now, to further illustrate this and talk about this, let me read you some things by Brother Hagin. This is on a book he wrote about healing. He said, did you notice, he's talking about the Pool of Bethesda. He said, did you notice that just one person got healed in the pool? Just one person? The first one in was the only one healed. Then the crowd had to wait until the next troubling of the waters. A week later, a month later, 6 months later, I don't know, we're not told. The gifts of healings operate in a similar manner. Have you ever been in a crowd of 5,000 or more? I have, gospel meetings. Yet only 15 to 20 people were healed through special manifestations of the word of knowledge or revelation gifts or gifts of healing. These special manifestations often operate together. Seeing these healings, other people start believing God and they get healed too. Seeing these healings, other people get, you know, start believing God and they get healed too. In other words, here's somebody like a Catherine Kuhlman, and she's up in front of a crowd of 8,000, 10,000. She goes, somebody over here, by the power of God, you're being healed of, you know. But when you stop and analyze it, only a few people out of the crowd got healed. Now, sometimes there'll be mass healings because it sparks the crowd. These things, as he goes on to say here, Brother Hagin says, these things are manifestations, are signs of his presence and his power. And so a lot of times, and when these things happen, when the altar call is given, you know, during the healing revival, the healing revival. But you know what happened in the healing revival? People got saved by the hundreds of thousands. Glory to God. And you know what happened in the book of Acts? When they saw these, when they see the miracles and signs and wonders, people got saved by the thousands and thousands and thousands. Have you ever been in a meeting of 8 or 10,000 people when somebody is there with a noted healing ministry like a Kenneth Hagin or an Oral Roberts or Benny Hinn? Have you ever been in one of those meetings? You know, if they say we're going to lay hands on the sick, and let's say it's a crowd of 8,000 people and they really have great confidence, and let's say it's Brother Hagin and praying for the sick, and he says we're going to pray for the sick, and you know how many people out of that crowd of 8,000 will come to be prayed for? About 4,200. I'm not exaggerating. And that's what he's saying. But when it comes to these kind of special manifestations, you may only see a sprinkling of them. Thank God for them. Thank God for them. Amen. They inspire people's faith. They help people. And if you go back and study the great healing revivals, especially because we have more information about it, of the one during the 1947 through the 50s, you know who these people generally were? They were people, that denominational people that had never been taught anything about healing. They were even sinners. See, God expected people that grew up in church and knew about Jesus and were not spiritual babies to use their faith and get what rightfully belonged to them. It's very important to learn this. Amen. So he says, God initiates some things on his own. Thank God for that. I love that. He uses me in special manifestations in a limited measure, although that's not my main ministry. I've often been awakened during the night, and I've realized that it was the Lord who awakened me. Lord, I don't know how to pray for, as I ought. You help me. The Holy Spirit began to help me. I just began to pray aloud in other tongues, just lying there in bed beside my wife, never awakening her. I prayed that way thousands of times through the many, many years. Occasionally when I would finish, I would have a vision. I would see my service the next night. I would see myself point to a person. I would hear myself say, I saw you last night in a vision in my room. You have. I would name the disease. I would name the sickness that was wrong with them. And I would tell them they were healed. Those were gifts of healing operation. These people would be healed instantly. Not one ever failed to be healed. You see, God had initiated something on his own. Such manifestations are signs of his presence and his power. And thank God for that. You know, it says the Spirit wills. It says the Spirit moves. Maybe their grandmother was praying for them for the last 7 years. I don't know. You know, some people go to a service and wait for such a manifestation. Many dear people would never be healed if God didn't initiate something. But many die while they are waiting for something like that to happen to them. You need to know this. Although God does move this way, it does not always work for everybody, and it never will. Matter of fact, he says, this is not the way it works for the majority of people. Amen. I mean, he talks about how powerful this is. One night he was at a service, and there were these people challenging him. You know, they were saying, we'll give you $1,000 if you can prove that somebody's getting healed in these meetings. He said, they wanted him to debate him on healing and so forth. And so five of them showed up at the service, you know, this particular denomination, just to see what was going on and just to harass him. He says, as I stepped on the platform, I saw five well-dressed men standing in the back. The voice of the Lord said to me, these five men are so-called ministers from such and such a church. They are the ones challenging you. I want you to take such and such a text and preach a sermon. I opened my Bible and took off. The pastor said afterwards, I thought you were going to quote the whole New Testament. You talk about a fellow preaching. I never preached like that before or since. As I came to the close of my sermon, that same voice said to my spirit, not in my ears, but to my spirit, now demonstrate to the congregation what you preached. Oh, I like it when the Spirit moves on me like that. I wish he would do it every service. But if he doesn't, but he doesn't. It says he wills, not as I will. You see, there was a man lying there on a stretcher. Anyone could have seen that he was nearly dead. He was just a skeleton brought by an ambulance with just skin stretched over his body. He looked like a corpse, the picture of death. There were also two young ladies in the service that night who were just about to be graduated from high school with honors. They had been saved a few nights before. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, say unto the congregation, son of man, I'm going to lay my hands on these two young ladies, and each one of them will receive the Holy Spirit to begin with, speak with other tongues. Then I'm going to walk down there and not touch that man or pray for him. I'm going to speak to him and tell him to rise, and he will rise up off that stretcher and be healed. He will walk across the front of this church, and every person in the church will see him instantly healed before his eyes. And if any of these things do not happen, then I'm a false prophet. That is what he told me to say. Well, that puts you on the spot. But if it happens, which it will, it is a sign. God sometimes does things for signs. He initiates them on his own. The Bible says many signs and wonders were wrought by the apostles. I concluded, this is a sign unto you that the Spirit of God is upon me, that he has called me and has anointed me into such a ministry. I called the young ladies forward to them. They began to speak in other tongues. I laid hands on another girl that she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then I walked down to the fellow on the stretcher, spoke to him, and he got up and walked right there in front of everybody, right there in front of those five ministers. Well, why don't you do that every service? Somebody might ask. I didn't do it then. The Holy Spirit did it through me. Well, why doesn't he do it every service? I don't know. If you want to know, go ask him. He's the one who did it. I long for these manifestations. If they did not occur occasionally, and I thank God for them, and I thank God for them, whether they are manifested through me or somebody else. But brother and sister, I just get as thrilled when the word of faith is preached. You need to realize, as the story of the woman with the issue of blood tells you, that your own faith can initiate healing. Your faith can do it. You don't have to wait for God to move. You can use your faith, and you can get what you need from God. And of course, those five ministers were awestruck and warmed up to him and asked him a lot of questions after the service. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I said amen. Now, I'm going to read you some things from Faith Food. You know, I think Faith Food now is a daily devotional and it's all in one book, but it used to be winter, summer, autumn, and which one I'd leave out? Spring. And so I want to read these particular stories because they all flow together for particular reasons, so pay attention. Brother Hagin again, he says, when I needed things in my life, I always just stood on Mark 11:23 and said or confessed what I was believing for. I always just said it. You know, what's everything, or no, that's Mark 11:24, but Mark 11:23 says, Mark 11:22, have faith in God, for verily, for truly I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt it, shall have whatever he saith. Well, is that true or is it not true? Well, don't accuse Brother Hagin or some faith preacher of saying that. If you don't like it, just take a black marker and mark it out of your Bible. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, then is it true or is it not true? When another person is involved, however, what they believe can affect my prayers. I know from experience, from people who are well-taught and well-trained, people don't hardly believe that. They just have a fit because they couldn't make their faith work for somebody. I'm like Keith Moore. I heard him say this the other day. I agree with him. He said, I don't do this anymore. And what he meant was this. He said, you know, you go to visit somebody's aunt or uncle or whatever, that they want you to go see them. So you go over there and you go up to the hospital room and you walk in there and they're kind of like, who are you? I'm like, well, I came here because, you know, they were cared. They want me to come over here and lay hands on you and they want me to pray for you. I don't believe in that. He said, well, you're just wasting your time going to those places. Amen. When another person is involved, what they believe can affect yours of prayers, especially if they are not in agreement with you. I haven't prayed about money for years, he said. I've never been without money. I always just say the money will come, and it comes. When I needed a certain amount, for instance, I am specific in my confession. I specify the amount I need. Once I needed $1,500 by the first of the month, so I said it, and I kept saying it. During times of prayer, I didn't pray it. I just said, by the first of the month, I'll have $1,500. When the first of the month came, I had $1,500. Praise the Lord. Now, Matthew 18:19. If two of you on earth shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them. You won't be able to get somebody healed if you're believing they will live, but they're believing they will die. There's no agreement there. When praying for others, it's important to get them to agree with you. And there's no sense blowing in there like you're God's greatest man of faith and power that ever lived and trying to raise them off their deathbed when they don't believe that. Get up and walk out of this room and then walk out of there like you really did something special. Now, you might walk up to him and say, can you believe that if I pray for you and if you have this operation that you'll get better and better and better? And sometimes your people will go, oh yeah, I can believe. Now you got something cooking. See, because faith works. But if they don't agree with you, it's not going to work. And your faith, apart from a gift of the Spirit, can't make something happen. Usually when someone comes to me with a prayer request, I say, if I can agree with you, let's join hands now and agree. Listen while I pray and agree with my prayer. Because if we both pray at once and we don't pay attention to each other, you may be praying in one direction, I may be praying in another. Once a woman came for prayer for a financial need. I prayed, Father, we agree concerning the $100 this family needs by the first of the next month. We agree that by the first of the month, they'll have this extra $100. You said that two of you will agree as touching anything they ask, it shall be done. We agree that it's done, and we thank you for it now in the name of Jesus. I looked at the woman and said, is it done? She started crying. I hope it is. It wasn't. There was no agreement. Now listen. Under what circumstances can you help others? As long as people are a bona fide baby Christian, you can carry them on your faith and get things for them. It's the easiest thing in the world to get a new Christian healed. And it's comparatively easy to get a Christian healed who has never been taught about divine healing. But God expects a little more from people who have had time and opportunity to know about spiritual matters. When my wife and I were married in November 1938, she was a Methodist and she knew nothing about healing. In December, the first real norther blew into Texas and she got a sore throat. She said, well, I'll have to have my throat swabbed out. I'll have a bad throat all winter. I do every year. That was a real opportunity to teach her about divine healing. Remembering Mark 11:24, I said, no, we'll not have your throat swabbed out. This chronic sore throat will leave you and it will never return. It left. And after all these years have come and gone, she's never had another sore throat since. But I couldn't do that for her today because she has developed her own faith and God expects her to use it. I was told that I had an emergency telephone call. My sister Olita was on the line, crying hysterically. She told me that her daughter's baby, I'm using these because I want to make a point to you. I want this to stir you up about Mark 11:23, even though you know it. I want this to stir you up about the power of agreement. I want to remind people once again, because people don't seem to get this, that you cannot make your faith work for others who won't believe or who should believe for themselves. But mostly, I want to point out to you that if we're to have success in this very important issue of healing, we must develop our faith and believe God for ourselves, not just sit around and wait for a special minister with a special prayer or a special move of God to come along. God's word works for all of us. My faith, your faith, our faith will always work for us in our own lives because the word works. The word works. Can you say amen? Amen. Olita cried. Oh, here it is. The doctor told the family, the baby's face is deformed. It can't live. We don't want you to see it. We'll just dispose of the body when the baby expires. The baby's father wants you to pray. See, they had confidence in his prayer. I knew my family were just babies when it came to spiritual matters. And I thought about Mark 11:23 again. Olita, where is Benny? I asked. Right outside the phone booth, she replied. Now listen, the minute you hang up, turn to Benny and say, Benny, Uncle Ken said, the baby will live and not die. The baby will be all right. Do you think so? No, I don't think so. I know so. I've got Jesus' word for it. And you've got Jesus' word for it. Not 10 minutes later, a nurse came running out and told them, you can see the baby. He's all right. While we were looking at him, his face just filled out just like you blew up a balloon. You can't shut God out if you'll believe him. Stick with him. We're almost through. It's almost 8. An unsaved uncle of mine once contacted my mother. He wanted her to get in touch with me so I would pray for his daughter who was dying. I told Mama, his own Mama, when he called back to tell him that I said my cousin would live and not die. Oh, son, have you heard from the Lord? See, my mother knew that I heard from the Lord and the Lord used me specially. Yes, I heard from the Lord. She will live and not die. Praise the Lord. That's fine. Yeah, I heard from the Lord, I told Mama, Mark 11:23. Oh, she said. Her voice dropped with great disappointment. People put more emphasis on some kind of manifestation than they do the word. Don't do that. Put the word first. Then I told Mama again what to tell my uncle. She said, do you suppose it will work, son? Certainly it will work. Will the multiplication table work? No one ever says, I don't know if I've got enough faith to work the multiplication table. If you work the multiplication table, it will work. And if you work a Mark 11:23, it will work. It's the word that does it. That's where some people miss it. They think they're going to have to perform. No, God does it all. All we have to do is do what the word tells us. I learned later that a few minutes after Mama told my uncle that I had said my cousin would recover, she suddenly opened her eyes and was perfectly all right. She was in intensive care with 3 doctors around her bed, and she had a head surgeon that had said she would never come out of it. I knew she would be well all the time. I knew she would be well all the time because Mark 11:23 said so. Through the years, I could make the word work once for each of my relatives, bringing the supernatural to them. But I could never do it again. You see, that gave them concrete evidence that the word worked, but then they'd come back to me the second time. I couldn't carry them any longer on my faith. God expected them to do a little bit the next time, at least to agree with me. You can't always make the word work for others. It's not right to carry people spiritually all their lives any more than it is for parents to carry their children in the natural all their lives. What would you think if you saw Doug and Heather walking in here and Daisy, who's 18, they're carrying her around like she's a little baby? You'd say, put that girl down. There comes a day when people have to do things on their own, and there comes a day when God says, put that big youngin down and let him walk. Stand up with me. Amen. So I hope that I use those examples because I hope that stirs you in the faith realm. I hope that stirs up you about the power of your words. Blessed be God. Yes, I said it. And do you think it will? No, I don't think it'll work. I know it will work. Amen. Glory to God. I've done that I don't know how many times. Blessed be God. And to understand again, you can't automatically make your faith work for others, but you can make it work for them if they can get you to agree with them and understand for ourselves. And you have. We must develop our faith and believe God for ourselves. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Amen. Say this out loud with me. Say, my faith works.
My faith works.
Healing belongs to me. Because it's in God's redemptive plan. And my faith works. The woman with the issue of blood was made whole by her faith. And my faith, my faith,
my faith
makes me whole. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Now, I felt particularly impressed tonight. If you've got something in your body that maybe you're already standing in faith for it, wonderful. Understand this. It's not wrong for you to get somebody to agree with you in prayer. That's not wrong. It's not wrong for you to come up in somebody's healing line and have them pray for you. You don't have to tell them, you know, they're praying for 50 people or 500 people. I'm not up here. I believe I received my healing. I'm just up here. But if you come on that basis of, Lord, I know I'm healed because your word says I'm healed, but I just want them to put their faith with my faith, and I want them to agree with me that I am healed. You can come on that basis. Because you see, God loves us so much, He has created about nine different ways, different avenues that you can get. You can get healed by just saying it. You can get healed by believing you receive. You can get healed by somebody agreeing with you. You can get healed by the anointing with oil. Glory to God. You can get healed by the laying on of hands. I think God's trying to get it over to us. So if you're here and you want to be healed, or if you've got something wrong in your body, something major, minor, whatever it is, and you just want us to agree with you in prayer, lift your hands for me. Lift your hand for me. Lift it high. Keep it lifted, please. Keep it lifted, please. Or if your hand, you people go over here and lay your hands on Tanner. I'm doing this the way God told me to do it, all right. Margaret, Doug, Heather, you come over here. Glory to God. Who else has got their hand lifted? This is important. Amen. Glory to God. You're right there. Get around. Go back there and lay hands on Melissa. Glory to God. Go back there and lay hands on Cheryl in the back. Glory to God. Amen. You come up. You, all of you with your hands up. Come up here. Come up here. Hey, and I'm not just doing this. I'm doing this because the Lord told me to have you come up here. Glory to God. Come up here. Come up here. Cheryl, walk over to Junior. Kay, did you have your hand raised? Okay. Listen, Cheryl, Junior, listen. The word of the Lord came to me. The Lord said, Cheryl, I want you to agree with Junior that he's healed. And Junior, I want you to agree with Cheryl that she is healed. So go ahead and minister to them. However the Spirit leads you, go ahead and minister to them. Glory to God, and agree with them that they are the healed. Sherry, come up here. Come up here and lay your hands on these. I agree with you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Sherry agrees with you. Sherry's going to lay hands on you. We agree with you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If two on earth, we're on the earth, we're more than two, shall agree. Do you agree with me? I know you're already standing in faith probably. I agree with you that you are healed. If two on earth shall agree as touching anything, it shall. It shall be done for me by my Father in heaven in the name of Jesus. I agree with you that you are healed. I agree with you that you are healed. I agree with you, precious sister. You are healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You are healed. You are healed. You are well. You are healed in the name of Jesus. Glory.
For you to agree with me.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. We are in agreement that you are. You are. You are. You are. You are healed. I agree that you are healed in the name of Jesus. You are healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I agree. I agree. I agree. Just minister to them. Minister. Hey, listen, your minister, say to them whatever you feel like saying by the Spirit of the Lord. Go to whoever you want to go to if you feel led. I agree. You are. You are. You are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I agree. I agree. I agree. I agree. I agree. You are well and healed and whole in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I agree. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. I agree. I agree. Amen. 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 Yes, in the name of Jesus, I agree. I agree. I agree. Huh? Glory to God. I agree with you, Michelle. I agree. We too agree together, Father, that Michelle is healed in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I corresetele, corresetele, correteki. Chandela, correte. Lay your hands on her. Lay your hands on her.
And that's Anna, not Cheryl.
Oh, Anna. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I agree. I agree with you that you are healed. You are. Glory. I agree that you are. Glory to God. Amen. And pray. Pray one for another that you may be healed. That's another method. Pray one for another that you may be healed. I heard about a church that never had anybody sick in years and years and years. They said, what do you do? They said, we don't do anything. When somebody gets sick, people just automatically come and start praying for them. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Sister Anna, forgive me for calling you Cheryl. I saw Cheryl today. That's her sister. Cheryl cut my hair, but I know the difference between Anna and Cheryl. That's Anna. We agree together. Say it. That we are the healed. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You are healed. You are healed. You are healed. Not one single thing has to happen. It already happened. It already happened, Bennett Penny. It already happened. We're just resting in the fact that Jesus has healed us. We rest. Say, I'm resting in His healing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Did you want, you wanted to give a testimony? Give us the. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Well, today, I had some sciatic nerve pain in my left leg.
Not fun, is it?
No, not fun. And I just said, the anointing's in me.
Yes.
His anointing's in me. That I am His voice. And I spoke to my sciatic nerve and I said, His anointing's in me. His blood was shed for me. Pain, you go in Jesus' name. I mean, it was gone like that. You just got to get stirred up. You just can't be passive when pain comes on you. Attack it with who you are. And whose you are and who's in you, and just say the word and you mean business. And I'm not having sciatic nerve pain.
Amen.
So you go.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Go.
Don't with the devil.
Amen. Everybody turn and point your hand toward the camera back there. See that camera, that little camera back there? Right beside Michelle in the blue. If you're watching us online, we, a lot more than two, we agree with you that you are healed in Jesus' name. And we thank God that anybody listening on the camera that's hooked up with us in faith, that they are the healed. Not trying to get it, they are healed. We just praise you and thank your faith The Spirit of the Lord said, your faith. Just like Jesus told the woman with issue of blood, God says to you tonight, your faith has made you whole in Jesus' name. Now rejoice about it and give Him praise. Glory to God. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, amen. Well, we're 10 minutes past our hour of power, so thank you for being patient. Hey, we love you. We love you. God bless you. You guys continue to have a wonderful week, and y'all are dismissed. Amen.